In a Tribune story that we published on Tuesday, Elder Oaks, you were quoted as saying that the church doesn't seek apologies and we don't give them. And of course, this sparked a whole storm on social media about those who wonder how this view comports with Christian theology. Again, wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to that.
I'm not aware that the word apology appears anywhere in the scriptures, Bible or Book of Mormon.
Lesson 16, I will say I'm sorry. Introduction for the teacher.
To prepare yourself spiritually to teach this lesson, please ponder the following. Whenever we do something wrong or make a mistake, we should admit our fault and try to correct it. See James chapter 5. Verse 16.
The word apology contains a lot of connotations in it and a lot of significance. We do not seek apologies. When our temple was desecrated in California, when people were fired and intimidated, when a lot of other coercive measures were used, we sought no apology. That's what I meant by saying we don't seek apology. We think that the best way to solve these problems is not a formal statement of words.
This is Infants on Thrones.
Minisode.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and today I'd like to make an apology to the little apologist. But instead of just offering up a plain old boring apology, I figured I'd make it at least somewhat entertaining, or at least a little cringeworthy, and definitely a little weird. So I've brought on a special guest today to sort of interview me about what happened with our recent episode that came and went, The Little Apologist. So here he is, the little apologist himself, Fred. Hi, Fred.
But I'm not the little apologist. I'm the littlest apologist.
Why did they call you the littlest apologist? You sound like a leprechaun.
That's racist. And it's not even funny.
Sorry, Fred.
My name's not Fred.
I don't care. Go ahead. Interview me.
What do you want me to ask you?
Ooh, yeah, that's a really good question.
Right.
Maybe you could start by asking me, you know, the background behind the whole little apologist thing.
Okay. Why don't you tell me the background behind the whole apologist thing?
Ooh, yeah, good question. Mm-hmm. Thanks for asking, Fred.
My name's not Fred.
I still don't care. Well, you know, it was something that I recorded 4.5 years ago with Tom.
Uh-huh.
We were on Mormon Expression, and
right.
it was a guy who actually approached Mormon Expression maybe 6 months or 8 months before we actually did the recording. And he did record an interview with John, and then he told John immediately after, don't post it. I don't want it to be done at all. And so it was trashed. And then he contacted me maybe, you know, 6 months after that and said that he wanted to. And John was kind of like, I don't know. This guy's going to back out again. He's kind of,
Kind of wishy-washy.
Yeah.
Unreliable.
Yeah.
The kind of guy who would ask you to record a podcast with you and then have second thoughts because he didn't want to upset the apologist community and then ask you to just delete it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so we, but it seemed to me like he was sincere. So I went ahead and I scheduled the interview, and Tom and I did it. And, you know, I wanted it to be posted. It just never was posted. And one of the things was he talked about medication.
Do you mean the part where he sort of overshared and said he hasn't taken his medication in a while?
Yeah, he talked about some anxiety that he suffered from, and that was really a big red flag for all of us. And that, I think, is the main reason that it never was published, because we didn't want to do anything that
that made you look like a bunch of unsympathetic assholes.
Yeah, right. And, he, you know, he seemed like the kind of guy who
still lives in his parents' basement.
No, someone who really cares deeply about
Star Trek.
what he's thinking. He was somebody who really wanted, he was searching for a community.
Right.
And we knew that the audience of Mormon Expression really wasn't the community that he was searching for. You know, there were some things that I edited out of the original recording where he talked about the group that he was trying to establish. Uh-huh. And he was hoping that people from the audience would contact him and become part of that group.
Right.
But it just never happened.
So then you had this recording that you had spent your time recording and maybe even edited, but it just sat there and was never published. And you felt somehow cheated by the process. Is that what you're telling
me? Well, so, yeah, it just kind of sat for years.
Right.
But it was always something that I liked. You know, I thought that the conversation was interesting.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of myself, you know. I mean, I never quite went to the lengths that he did.
Yeah.
But I was interested in the same kinds of things during my believing days as a Mormon.
Yeah.
And so I found it valuable that way. I thought that some of the content about Zelph and Onondagas,
yeah,
I had never heard that before.
Right.
I mean, I was familiar with Zelph, but I wasn't familiar with this Indian chief Onondagas and the connections that
Joseph Smith pulled whole cloth out of his arse.
Right, yeah. And so it was... Where was I?
Searching around for something to pull out of your own arse, I believe.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, it was something that I always wished had been published, even though I knew that there were legitimate reasons not to.
Sure.
So maybe a year or so ago with Infants on Thrones, we started getting an email from a guy who wanted to do a listener essay about Book of Mormon geography.
Yeah.
And he was coming at it from a believer's perspective and felt like he wasn't getting his due. You know, he didn't have a voice in this podcast. And so he wanted to communicate to our listeners and to the panel on Infants on Thrones to kind of convince us and sway us.
Right,
and we had several email exchanges, and I asked him for examples of what he thought was evidence that was irrefutable, and he came back with some things that just seemed a little
stupid.
I'm going to use the word squirrely. Can I use the word squirrely?
As long as you're not making a thinly veiled reference to me and my size, you know, being the littlest apologist and all.
Yeah, no offense, but it just seemed a little odd, and it made me think back to this Little Apologist episode. So I went and I listened to it again, and you know, I liked it.
Sure.
I wanted to try and do it in a way that we could focus on the content of it and maybe the thought process and get away from the actual person and not have anything come back on him, especially because I knew that he had this anxiety issue. I wanted to try and protect him that way.
Yeah.
But in the editing... And
because you're such a great, kind, magnanimous person. That's why you created it several months ago and didn't release it until now. Is that right?
Yeah, no, I had it ready to go about February or so.
Uh-huh.
So it's been on the back burner for about 6 months. And
should have stayed there.
You know, Tom was really lukewarm at best as to whether he wanted this thing released.
Smart man.
There were other guys in the panel that were like, I don't know. It's not that great. It's not that interesting. Some thought that it was moderately interesting. Maybe it needed to be tightened up a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I'd already spent so much time changing the voice and adding in the little clips to try and mask everything that I wasn't interested really in going in and trying to edit it anymore, and nobody ever listened to it to give feedback. So it just kind of sat on the back burner for a while until this last Sunday when we were planning on releasing an episode that I think we're going to release this upcoming Sunday, and there were problems with getting it created and coordinated and all kinds of things. So we had this empty spot.
Yeah.
And I thought, let's go with the Little Apologist. And then what happened, people listened to it, and I guess there was one little clip that I missed where the guy talked about the title of a book that he had worked on.
Oh, right.
And people were able to Google it and find out information on him, who he was, which... You know, I mean, I was just trying to protect his identity.
Oh, sure,
it wasn't like the Jay the Mormon Swinger or the
Right.
What was the other one that we did?
The one where you talked about your missionary companion that used to run around the place naked and put the other missionary's glasses on his nasty spot and say, "Oh, look at me, I'm the Mexican man. Has anyone seen the Mexican man?" Are you talking about that episode?
Right, right, yeah. My missionary trainer who I called the Streaking Samurai.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't really want people to know who he was or where he is. So there have been times where we tried to protect people's identity for reasons.
That
this could get out there and be damaging to them or their reputation for one reason or another. And I didn't feel like with the little apologist that it would damage his reputation. I didn't want him to have to suffer any angst.
Well, you just wanted
and especially that it had been 4.5 years since we recorded the thing.
I
looked him up on Facebook and I didn't see him on Facebook. And so I didn't feel like I had a way to really contact him.
Oh, you're just,
I mean, apparently,
you're making excuses
he's able to be contacted by Google. You can find his email address,
which
people did.
Right.
So somebody, there were several people actually who sent emails or Facebook messages saying, "Hey, is it this guy? Is it this guy?" And a couple people didn't guess right, but other people did. And one of them provided his email address, and so I emailed him and just let him know that it had been published on Sunday, and gave him a link to it, and said, "I'll take it down if you want me to take it down. I'll keep it up. I'll do a follow up interview if you want to do a follow up interview."
Oh, sure, you would.
He responded within minutes, so he didn't have time to listen to it. I don't think he listened to it, but he did ask me to take it down because he said that his views had changed in the last 4.5 years, and
48 hours
that
probably
would cause him more stress than not with it being up. And so I didn't question. I just took it down.
As you do.
And then he actually emailed me back and said maybe we could do a follow-up interview and we could talk about some other things like this.
Well,
I probably shouldn't say that.
Right.
That we could talk about some of the other things that he's interested in.
Uh-huh.
And I just said, I really don't think that the audience for Infants on Thrones is the type of audience that you'd really be interested in engaging with. And
because you care.
For me, he said something like, you might ridicule me for this, but maybe we could talk about this subject. And I didn't feel like I would ridicule him in an interview because I genuinely am interested in the way that people see things that are differently than me and how they're able to connect things. And I know that not everybody who listens to this stuff and responds and puts comments on our website are quite as kind as I am. Really kind.
Mm-hmm.
Hearted.
Oh, so kind-hearted. You're just a saint. You'd never make fun of nobody.
Yeah. No, I'm a nice guy. I don't mock.
No, not you.
Right.
You're just a big-hearted teddy bear.
Right.
With some extra comfy fluff.
No, yeah, absolutely. And
100% self-aware.
Yes, and totally self-aware and self-reflective.
And never hypocritical.
Never hypocritical. Right. And so,
if only everyone could be like you, Glenn, you must have been put on this earth for a special purpose that only you could accomplish.
Yeah. So, it's gone. The episode, The Little Apologist, it went up
on
Sunday. It went down
on
a Tuesday. And only 4,000 people listened to it. So, we were able to avoid the 10,000 people that normally listen to
this. Oh, that just sounds like you're bragging.
Which is pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. So that's the story. Is there anything else that you want to know?
Oh, yes, there is something I'd like to know. I thought this was supposed to be an apology to the little apologist. But it sounds to me like you're just making justifications.
Oh, right. The apology.
All right.
So, Little Apologist, if you're out there and you know who you are, but I don't think you're listening,
if
you are, I do want to apologize sincerely if this caused you, boy, I can't say if, right? If you start off with an apology, you can't say, "I'm sorry if."
And then saying sincere
really
doesn't
shitty.
Make it sincere.
Let me start again.
Okay.
So, I apologize that I published this interview that we did without talking to you about it first.
Well,
I definitely
better.
Should have talked to you about it first
better.
And really made the effort to contact you and let you know and given you the opportunity to either go ahead with it
almost
or
there.
Not. And I didn't do that, and I should have, and I'm sorry for that.
Okay.
And I am especially sorry if, and now I kind of have to use it, if it caused you any additional stress being contacted by people, if you were contacted by people. I certainly don't want to do that. I know people who suffer from anxiety. I love people who suffer from anxiety, and I definitely don't want to be a person who adds to anyone's anxiety, especially
you're just patting them on the head right now,
in,
aren't you?
In topics that are so important to you. So I do apologize for that. And
nicely done.
Anything else you want to ask me?
Well, sure, since you bring it up. Why don't you have more female voices on the podcast?
No comment.
From Northville, Michigan, and I've been a fangirl of the infant since before this podcast. Little did I know I was contributing to Glenn's massive ego. You can comment on this episode on the website infantsonthrones.com, and if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes. I didn't because I don't know how to work computers or plant trees. Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.